Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketchy ideas. I'm Andy.
And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Birchall.
And you know this about us. We're roast guys.
We're big roast guys. I think we signed an NDA. We are technically not roast guys. You know us. We're guys. Wink, wink.
Yeah. No, I was just referring. Do you think we did? Did we sign an NDA? I didn't read it. We signed something, and
Andy's already laying out his defense.
I signed a no details agreement, which means I signed it without knowing any of the details.
I'm not reading anything.
That's how I liked to keep it. You know. This is how seriously I take the NDA.
Yeah.
I didn't even disclose the details of it to myself.
I mean, that's really good. I mean, I actually, and then I went and signed a blank piece of paper to represent how much I took in and exactly what I was signing. And to be honest, another one I didn't sign to represent the fact I didn't even look at my own signature.
Invisible ink. Alistair.
Candy, you've heard of invisible ink. How about this?
Yes.
Invisible sink.
Oh, no.
It's a spy. It's a spy. It's a guy who sold invisible ink.
It's a spy kitchen.
It's the guy.
I've got one of those new spy kitchens. We've got an invisible sink.
It's a spy kitchen cooking show.
Oh, really great. This is the best idea we've ever had. The podcast is finally kicking into gear.
It couldn't come at a better time. I'm writing it down even before we figure out what it is.
Spy kitchen. They're cooking appliances, you know, spies have got to eat as well.
Yeah.
You know, they don't just need to, you know, shoot bullets out of, you know, pens and stuff.
Yeah.
They need to eat.
Sure, some pens are guns, but some pens are a Mars bar.
It's a pen. You click the button. Out of the end comes a little whisk.
Yeah, it has a little, now, well, a little bit like a little twiggy stick. You know, like one of those like meat sausages.
Well, you can eat the nib.
Eat the lead, yeah. Or you can write instead of salami grease.
I take it back. This is the best idea we've ever had.
Yeah, it's already written down.
Oh, great. I'm dining at Q's tonight.
I thought you were changing the letter in order to make it funny. Like, I thought you said, because I mean, it might be like, I'm dining at K's tonight. K for kitchen.
Oh, yeah, that would have been really funny if I'd done that. I wish I had. But I didn't have the presence of mind to make that great joke.
You're not taking in any information. That's part of the NDA.
Yeah. NDA, interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Same letters as DNA. And the word and.
And it's all letters organized in a different order.
NADS. NAD. I signed an NAD. Yeah. That's all right. I wrote on my balls. It's not a joke.
No,
not a joke.
Andy,
not even interesting.
So did you sign the NDA? No, I signed an ID.
Did the producer get you to sign an NDA? No, he got me to sign an NAD. He took down his pants and he said, right on my balls.
I autographed his testicle. All right. I'm writing it down.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Alistair, here's a fun game that I like to play with my children, right?
Yeah.
It's called The Floor Isn't Lava.
Yeah.
Right. And what I do,
yeah,
and they like this, and your kids might like this, and if you're listening at home, yeah, and you're not Alistair, your kids might like this as well.
Do you
it's
want
where
to
you start to panic that the floor isn't lava, right? There's no lava. I've fallen into no lava. And then you start screaming about having no lava all over you, and it's not burning your body, and it's really funny.
That is funny. That is really fun. Mm. And well, you know something I've been thinking about lava is because... Is because the rock is a liquid when it's lava, right? So that means that part of a big part of the yuckiness of falling into lava is, yeah, sure, you're burning, but also you're soaking wet. And that's really uncomfortable. You know, wet.
I am sodden. I am saturated.
I am sopping. I am sopping wet. Come here. Let me get you a towel.
I think it's one of those dry kinds of wets.
It's a dry wet.
It's a very dry wet.
Like when you fall into a vat of Sauvignon Blanc.
hang on. You fall into a vat of Sauvignon Blanc. It's dry.
Yeah.
It's a dry wet. Maybe that's what cleaning is. Do you think that's what dry cleaning is?
Yes, they use Chardonnay.
I spilled some wine on my shirt the other day, and yeah, I had to take it to the dry cleaners because it was a Sauvignon Blanc. Doesn't make any sense.
No. I mean I thought you were saying that they would just put Sauvignon Blanc on your shirt.
Yeah, well, I was originally saying that, but then I was thinking, well, maybe it would be better if it's the dry cleaners. They only clean dry wines, yeah, out of your clothes. A dry white wine, but probably wouldn't need to clean a white wine out anyway.
If it was just a drama based entirely on this premise where somebody gets something on their shirt and they take it to the dry cleaners and then they pour a bottle of white wine on the shirt while it's there.
Mm.
And they said, what are you doing? He said, well, this is a dry cleaners. So it's a very stupid idea, right?
Yeah, but you put it in a drama.
Yeah.
Suddenly that's interesting to me.
I don't know, yeah. I think I'm done with comedy. I think I'm going to do drama from now on.
Yeah, right.
But I'm going to do...
Maybe there should be a drama. We come up with five ideas for conflicts.
No, but I think...
We come up with five motivating conflicts.
Two in the think tank. Oh, no, sorry, that's not... that didn't change anything. two in the dramaturgical society room. Oh, you know what I thought of today, just before? I saw Andy earlier today. Me and Andy were in the same state today.
Yeah, we convened.
But now we're far away again. We got together so that we could separate and do the podcast. but you know, you've heard of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, right?
Oh, yes.
You are aware of that?
Mm.
Well, I'm in the Willy Nilly Silly Billy Camilly.
I went on such a journey with that, Alistair, because I was having a wonderful time with the Willy Nilly Silly Billy.
Yeah.
Right. And then when the next word was Camilly, I almost didn't hear it because my brain was like, oh, he'll probably just say some word that means committee but that rhymes with with Silly Billy. And I trusted you that you would have done that. Right. And then my brain processed it and said, hang on, he's just said the word committee with Camille in there. Everything else in the sentence worked so incredibly well and the beautiful rhyming scheme. And then he's cheated with the last word. And then my brain said, but that's the kind of thing a willy nilly silly Billy would do. And I was back on board.
Yeah. It's, you think that's a shirt?
The willy nilly silly Billy Camille. Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I think. This is the moment for such a parody of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee. That concept. Which, I mean, what is that? What does it actually mean? I mean, we all know the phrase, and we're all using it on a daily basis.
No, but I think it's an actual organization.
Really?
I think they convene.
Do you think they have an AGM?
I think they do convene sometimes, and actually do, like, have a sort of
they have business.
They take
minutes, and
they have like a board, you know, like a flat board that they meet at.
Yeah. They have a the boardroom table.
No, but I think that they're like an organization, like what's the Israeli intelligence agency there?
Mossad?
Yeah, they're like Mossad. Right? And you know, like I think like La Femme Nikita was a part of them. And there was another one. There was another assassin that they've caught part of them. But I think they do things, and they might, you know, they might sort of attack people who speak ill.
Are they a bit like the G8? Can you sort of lobby to become a part of the itty bitty titty committee? You know, and then does that give you a seat at the table?
Yeah.
And, you know, a bit of lobbying power.
Yeah, at the board.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? It would be a real shame to discover that the Itty Bitty Titty Committee had become corrupted like FIFA.
Yeah.
And was, you know, people were able to basically buy their way onto the Itty Bitty Titty Committee despite not having Itty Bitty Titties.
Sure,
you know,
yeah.
And sort of undermining the entire raison d'etre of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee.
Well, I guess in the end, you know, that's capitalism. Even something as pure as an Itty Bitty Titty Committee eventually becomes about the money.
Yeah.
And it's just about people who know how to move money around and, you know, make money for other people.
Mm. Yeah.
should I write this down? Who is it?
Yeah, I mean, I would like to think that the Itty Bitty Titty Committee would ensure its integrity by having an Itty Bitty
Titty
Integrity Committee.
Yeah, an Itty Bitty Titty Committee Integrity Committee.
sure.
Yeah, Itty Bitty Titty Itty Bitty Integrity Committee.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who works within the organization, almost like you know, the cops who investigate the cops, or the ICAC over here that we have to stamp out that kind of corruption.
Andy, already, just like I can write down the title Itty Bitty Integrity Committee, and already that fixes the horrible, awkward tension that there is with the Itty Bitty Titty Committee being such a you know, a thing that makes me feel a tiny bit awkward, even though I enjoy speaking about it.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things that is so fun to say.
Exactly.
That I think it's okay. You know, it's one of those ones where, like, we get so much joy from just saying the words.
Yeah.
That even if somebody was offended and really quite hurt and had their psyche damaged by it, I still think the total amount of good in the world would be at least stable.
Yeah.
If not slightly better.
Yeah, exactly. I think it probably takes some carbon out of the air every time you say it. I don't know why I think
surely,
that.
Surely. I feel like I think it's all the hard consonants in there. I feel like clicking your fingers probably takes carbon out of the air.
Yeah.
You can't tell me that when I do that, I'm not at least breaking a few, like, bonds of, like, the air molecules between my fingers.
Yeah.
Right? I must be splitting some carbon dioxide
at
into
least
just carbon and oxygen.
At least mushing a few carbon dioxides together so that they become heavier than air and they have to fall to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially sequestered, you know? They're not like...
Yeah.
They're not like a solid state, but they're essentially, they become a heavy gas and they just stay at your feet. And nobody really cares if your feet get hot.
Is anybody looking into that, into making a new gas that we could put into the atmosphere that might not necessarily react with the carbon dioxide, but that would sort of grab it in some way, like into a sort of submission hold, and make it fall to the ground?
That's really interesting. We could call
choke
it, like
it out.
Cane-tothanol.
Yeah.
Cane-tothanol. You know, just a, like a one...
It's a great name.
Yeah. You know, just like one thing that you could just put in there and fixes all your problems.
Mm.
So what's this called? Wait, your idea was...
It's my new gas. It's my new...
A new gas.
And it's the slogan for this gas is choke out carbon dioxide. Choke out CO2.
Is it? Do you think it's we're at the point now where we can just call climate change CC?
CC?
Yeah.
Ah, there's chips. That's the chips.
Okay, right. Damn.
They'd hate that.
They would hate,
hate
that.
They hate being synonymous with
named
that.
After climate change. Yeah, I mean, I think they've already failed, right? They've been defeated by Doritos. You barely ever see them. They're like doing... They're doing worse than Pepsi.
Why are there no square chips? We got triangular chips and we got round chips.
I've seen some rectangular
chips. I've seen some rectangular chips, but that wasn't my question, was it? Well, why are there no fucking square chips?
Well,
Alistair?
Squares are rectangles. And so I was getting close, you know. I was walking around what you were talking
rectangles
about.
Rectangles are not squares.
No, I know that. Yeah.
Thank you.
I know that. I understand. Wait. Was there something else? Wait, a new gas? Oh yeah, that chokes out carbon dioxide.
Yeah, I mean somebody's got to be looking at that. Like, I think, you know, we got into this business by messing with forces we did not understand.
Yeah,
and I feel like that might be the way that we get out.
Well, you know,
what's
interesting, Andy, is that actually this would be a great way if we could get the Gracie family. Right now, they're the people who brought jiu-jitsu to the world. Right?
Really?
There was a Japanese guy who went to Brazil and taught these guys, this family, jiu-jitsu. And this Gracie family were basically famous for like beating people. They were like, our family can beat anybody up, no matter what what style they are. And they started the UFC to have that thing so that they could have all the.
So they could beat everybody
up. All the different fighting styles would fight against each other, and they would beat all of them and win. And they did. One of the Gracies did win that very first one. And and so they introduced the world to this groundwork of like taking people down and holding them there and then choking them out. Right now, if you could get them to release a gas, you know, UFC is one of the most famous. Things and probably a lot of their fans are not in, don't even believe in climate change, right? So this is how you can get them on. You can get that whole part of the population on side.
Exactly. Right? The atmosphere is the octagon.
Yeah, getting a Brazilian jiu-jitsu gas somehow, or you know, framing it like that, and getting UFC fans to buy it. And then
getting Joe Rogan on board.
Spray it into the air. These are cans that are just made. Remember how sad it was when we couldn't spray CFCs into the air anymore?
What about UFCs? Yeah, we can finally spray some.
And these cans are just made for spraying right into the air. You can even hold a lighter in front of them.
Oh, wow.
And that fixes the environment.
It's amazing that we could do it with fire. We can fix it with flames and heat.
Yeah.
It's really exciting.
Anyway.
I think there must be something. There must be something, right? It's probably not healthy because if there's something that is so reactive that it'll react with carbon dioxide in the atmosphere, spraying it into the sky is probably going to be bad in some other way.
Oh.
But again, that's a problem we can deal with another gas.
But what about like a gas
spray
that's super reactive but only to one thing? Like, you know, if it was just for carbon dioxide, like it was just horny for carbon dioxide, maybe only in the presence of a catalyst.
Could be.
You know? Is that what happens with catalysts? Like, can you only predict what's going to be a catalyst for things? Like, can you not predict that? Is that what is the question?
I do not know. I feel like you must be able to build some designer catalysts, because what do? They just help to get molecules together to react at a lower activation energy than they otherwise would, right? Yeah. And it arranges them in a certain way, right? Shows them, you know, how to make love to each other.
Yeah.
Like guides their bodies.
Like a chaperone.
Yes.
The opposite
I think that's the opposite of a chaperone.
How can you change the word chaperone to?
You could change it to a chaperone. You could change it to a slapperone.
Slapperone. A fuckerone. A loverone. I can't do it, Andy. I can't even do it.
A Casanovarone.
Casanovarone. A Cupid. Cuperone. It's not. Cupid doesn't show you how to fuck, does he?
No, that's a different. A different little baby.
What about a Cupid? What about a Cupid who sticks around?
Oh yes.
You know what I mean? Like he gets you.
Yeah.
And then he actually just sticks around, and he's like.
And then he likes to watch.
Yeah. Now what are you guys gonna do?
I think that's really uncomfortable.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Because a little naked baby with a bow and arrow who shoots people and makes them fall in love. That's fine.
But do you remember?
But if he's also a voyeur.
Do you remember my little? I had once done an image, a piece of art. You know, I don't do art very often, but I'd made one, a cutout that was of Cupid as an adult with a kind of a gut, but instead of a bow and arrow, he had two Uzis and sunglasses.
It's a really good idea.
You know, and I think that.
Cupid's in the public domain, right? We could make this film.
I think Cupid's in the public domain, and he just like mows down people with love.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really something.
I mean, what happens there? Like, you know, does Cupid hit people because he thinks they would make a great couple? Or does he just basically, like, is he an arranged marriage kind of guy?
It's really interesting because, you know, if he feels like they would make a good couple and they are compatible, feels like maybe he's not necessary at all.
Yeah.
Right? Feels like they would have got together anyway.
Yeah. And so then if it's just getting people together, it's just taking people who are not together and putting them together, then in a way he kind of acts as a thing that to help increase like population booms and things like that. Does he work?
Yeah.
Does he work for someone? Is he like a force of nature, or is he like?
I guess he was like an algorithm before there was an algorithm. You know, he was like before we had dating apps.
Yeah.
We had things that could match you up based on your Facebook likes or whatever. Yeah. You know, your two questions. Had to be done by a god. That was the only way. It's the only way we could get that kind of level of information.
Is Cupid a god?
I think he's a little itty bitty god.
But you're making it sound like he might not have an algorithm at all. It's just random chance of people who are within his eyesight.
I mean, maybe I am making it sound like that. I don't have a good grasp on it, Alistair. But all I want to say is I love your idea of an itty bitty gritty reboot. Of Cupid.
Okay. All right. I'm writing it down.
Yes. I mean, I think we're being unimaginative with this sort of IP orgy that we're on at the moment. And we're only really looking at IP from the last 100 years.
Yeah.
And I think we should go back. Back to
you know, like the ancient Greek-averse. But, you know, like, is there ways of just, like, modernizing some of the ancient Greek things? Like, can you just take, like, Mount Olympus and the gods and turn them into billionaires or CEOs and stuff?
Yeah, of course you can. That's great.
And then...
That's already great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Cupid, he's a billionaire. He's like Bruce Wayne. He doesn't really have magical powers. What he does have is an Uzi and a lot of, I guess, drugs. Pharmaceuticals that he can shoot into people.
I mean,
into their ass.
That kind of feels like that's just like a. I mean, when I found out, I watched I got as my a birthday present one of those like maestros from the BBC on Julia Donaldson in her kids' books, And she basically went, yeah, like I used to like have to work in this thing where we would read old fairy tales and stuff like that. And I just basically have taken a lot of those old stories and turned them into slight variations.
That's a great, I loved hearing that.
Yeah. And you go, oh, so like the one of the most successful people in kid book writing is just somebody who, you know, not steals, but basically takes tropes that have worked.
But you think about what were the, like, the you know, before that, what was the icons? The Brothers Grimm, right?
Yeah.
With their children's fairy tales. What did they do? They just wrote down folk tales that everyone was telling anyway.
Yeah.
So it's the same shit.
Yeah.
What about this? a woozy floozy with an oozy.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. My ideas are going to be rhyming based.
Yeah, woozy floozy with a noozy. So it's like,
I mean, that's almost what was in Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, where she gets up. Remember, she's been unconscious on the couch the entire time, and she gets up and kills everybody or shoots at everybody with that Bren gun. The Bren gun, is that what they called it?
I don't remember. Was that like a double barreled gun?
No, it was a big machine gun type thing.
Oh, right. Well, I mean, that is very good. I mean, what about the? Because I mean, it could just be a revenge story of somebody who's had a date, like a roofie put on her drink.
Mm. Yeah.
You know,
it's really good.
I mean, I'm not, you know, floozy. You know, I mean, that's you know, that's derogatory. But we could sort of write her character to be a bit floozy.
What about, and then, so there's a guy, right, who's been mistreating women, right, with drugs, right. Yeah. And this girl, she tracks him down, okay? And she's about to, I guess, kill him to extract her revenge. And he tries to tell her, well, look, you're going to do this, right? Sure, you think that this will make you feel better, but you're going to be haunted by this. He's trying to get out of it, right? He's trying to talk her down. You're going to be haunted by this action for the rest of your life, okay? You're going to be traumatized by this. Killing me isn't going to solve anything. And then, in the ultimate act of irony, she then takes a roofie herself, then kills him, forgets the whole thing, and goes about her life completely unaffected.
Andy, that's a great ending to the whole thing.
Thank you.
Oh, that's good.
And it's called Oozy Woozy Floozy. Floozy.
Is it because she wrote the Oozy? Is that she wrote the title
woozy,
as she was fainting?
Yeah.
I like that. I like the take.
But you can't be choosy when you're an oozy.
The choosy, woozy, floozy with an oozy.
Confusy.
Takes. Roofie at the end.
In order to commit a crime.
Crimes.
I really want to do something with this idea that we had many pods ago about premeditated murder. And while, you know, meditating is good and doing things in advance, that's also good. But when you... I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh. Sounds good to me. Sounds like this person is organized and in touch with the infinite.
I had a sketch that I started writing the other day because I was in a car and my phone was out of batteries, and then I started working immediately on the things that I'm interested in.
Wow.
And it was based off of something I'd seen on a Two in the Think Tank list, which was, because I was thinking about trying to make it for like Instagram or whatever like that. But it was the, what's the One Drop of Blood company there? The
Theranos.
Yeah, it was Theranos. But we can tell you what mental illness you have based on just collecting a single tear from you.
Yeah.
Right? And it's a guy trying to sell it, trying to say, he says, but, you know, obviously we're different from Theranos because, you know, Theranos tried to, you know, duped a lot of very powerful backers. But we're different in that we don't have any backers. You know?
Yeah. That's what makes us such a good proposition.
And then there'd be a few other things about this. It would just be like a pen on tissue display. You know, just looks like a tissue, but it's actually the display of this thing. But then it kind of ends with the guy kind of saying, like, but look, if you have any work going at all, I will take.
So it's like, this is my pitch and this is my idea, yeah. Right? I'd love for you to invest. We're all going to be rich. But if you're not interested in that, I'll do anything else.
Yeah. It's kind of like,
like painting or weeding your garden.
Yeah. Well, I did say if you do have any chores to do around the house and you pay me, I will come and manage you while you do them.
What about this?
Yeah.
Oh, you! I will come and manage you.
Yeah, that's I was just saying. You know,
I wasn't listening to what you said, but that's
okay,
great.
NDA. You've signed an NDA on the podcast, and I don't want you telling anybody about any of these ideas that I'm putting forward.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I think, you know, if you need a boss, I'll take any senior position. We'll manage you for food. You know, he's a he's on the street.
What's CEO stand for?
Chief Executive Officer.
Will Chief Executive Officer, you're building your business for food.
Well, it's like they're basically hobos who go from town to town looking. For executive roles.
Yeah. How did you say it? Will manage your company for food?
Yeah, something like that. Something like that. I'll tell you what. I'd love somebody who could manage my company, if you know what I'm saying. That means they could manage being in my presence.
I mean, yeah. I mean, isn't that what sort of getting married
marriage
is all about?
Marriage is. Yeah. She could manage my company.
You know, she's the CEO in our relationship because she can manage my company. You see long noses on elephants and stuff like that.
You do.
But and this is going to sound like I'm wrong here for a second, but then I'm going to recorrect it so that I'm right. Right, but you don't see long ears, and by that I mean extended ear canals that come out like
Shrek.
No. But I mean longer, like a trunk, right? That you can move it to things and do very specific listening.
You're almost thinking of like a nature's stethoscope, aren't you?
Yes, an audio stethoscope. As I said that, I went, yes, the stethoscope already is audio. You see.
A stethoscope for the ears.
Yeah, so...
we always hear about lions that pick off the sick... And the weak,
yes.
Right? But have we experimented with how good their ability to detect sickness is? We're always trying to get dogs that can smell cancer.
Yes.
What about a lion that, if you get say 100 people running for their lives, will be able to home in and pick off the one who perhaps has some very early, otherwise undetectable form of melanoma or something like that.
Yes, but the only problem is that the way that you pay them for doing this task is they get to eat that person's body.
The diagnosis is worse than the disease, the diagnosis technique. But I feel it's a step in the right direction.
Yes.
You know? And we have this technology, it just needs time. Well,
they get the relief of knowing that, getting a diagnosis.
An early diagnosis is very important.
Very important. And it's good to catch it early.
As indeed they will be caught early.
Caught early in the race because the doctor doesn't have very much stamina. And so he has to catch it early before he gets tired. And so he goes for the easiest prey of all, the most sick.
Is the doctor a lion?
The doctor is the running man. I think he's just...
The doctor is the running man.
No, they're all running men and women. a running person can be a woman now.
As indeed can a melanoma victim.
Yes. Melanoma.
Thank God we saved it, Al.
What about a revenge movie? Oh, wait, what was this one? It's a person who hunts. Is this too stupid to write down?
No, it was using lions and their ability to pick off the sick
who,
as a diagnostic tool. I think that's a perfectly valid idea.
And
then all you would need is a sort of somebody with a tranquilizer bullet or whatever who could tranquilize the lion before it is able to deliver the fatal blow.
Yeah. It's a very...
That's my dog.
Is that your favorite dog?
That's my favorite of all my dogs. He was barking a lot earlier.
Yeah.
Just before we started the podcast, and I thought, this is going to be bad. And then I heard a meowing sound, and I was like, oh, God, there's a cat under the house. He's been able to tell there's a cat out there, because we've found stray cats out there before.
Oh.
He's still barking a lot.
Is he still barking?
And then
barking?
We realized it was our cat. Our cat had got outside, and is he still barking? Hang on, I'll go get him, and I will hold him, and then he will stop.
Bring him closer to the microphone. So while Andy's getting his mammal, I will say, I did the Shut Up a Second podcast the other day. And it was a wonderful time, and it's been released. So why not go to your favorite podcast searching device and go and listen to that episode? I think I might cry like a baby in it. Use that my one trick.
Yeah, that is one of your tricks.
Yeah.
That's one of your one tricks.
Yeah,
that's very impressive.
Oh, thank you.
You know, it's like Carson said, you'll use everything you know, and you have.
Yeah, absolutely.
Early on, was that in your first show? Was that in Undistinguished? The crying like a baby.
Probably, yeah.
However you do it.
You just pinch the back of your throat a little bit more.
Don't waste it now. Don't.
I wouldn't. I need to give people the
you got
to
drive the traffic to the Shut Up
the traffic away from our podcast. I think we're doing it with a lot of our ideas.
Doesn't matter. We're roast guys now.
We're roast guys now for undisclosed reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Andy, I mean, technically we have 5 sketch ideas. So, I mean, I could, if you'd be interested, go to 3 Words from a Listener.
I'd be fascinated.
Now, if you don't know what 3 Words from a Listener is, Andy, it's a segment of the show where people who support our podcast on Patreon can give us 3 words.
And give us
3 words that we can use as inspiration to come up with a sketch idea.
It's great.
And today,
fast becoming my favorite segment of the show.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I'm not against the big body of this show.
The thorax? What would you call that? The abdomen of the show?
You know, I like a big body.
Big body of work.
Yeah. Genuinely, like
one of those real, but you tell you what, Mel Brooks, he has one of those real badonkadonk body of work.
Yeah, very ass heavy. So today's 3 words comes from a much more recent joiner of the Patreon, Sev.
Sev.
That's right.
Sev.
S-E-V. Hope I'm not doxing you, Sev, by giving away the spelling.
Thank you, Sev.
Thank you so much, Sev. Thank you for joining the Patreon. And Sev has sent in 3 words. Andy, do you want to try and guess what one of those words is?
Okay. One of the three words that from Sev. The first word is bushy. Bushy. Oh,
close, Andy.
Oh, come on. Oh.
Close. Arbitrary.
Arbitrary. Well, see, arbor, of course, the Latin.
That's right, for tree. That's what I was so putting you to. Yeah. I was going to say it's because it had a B in it.
arbitrary penitentiary is the second word.
Ooh.
Arbitrary penitentiary.
No, but, you know, a little bit. Spirit.
Arbitrary spirit. Arbitrary.
Do you ever think that, you know...
Spirit level. Arbitrary spirit level.
Oh. No, but for some reason this word does feel level. It's medium.
Arbitrary spirit medium. Right. Is this sort of like chat roulette, but for seances? You know, you never know who you're going to get.
Yeah, and that's interesting.
And then a lot of the time, it's just a dead person describing their genitals to you.
Oh, no.
I assume. Because... You know, that's the only way in which they can manifest is through their words.
Yeah, and then, but then they're kind of like, well, firstly, they don't exist. Secondly, and so they're kind of like, they're going, oh, they're hypothetical genitals, hypothetical ghost genitals.
Yeah, well, I mean, so I'll be really interested to find out what the, what form ghosts take when we do finally discover them. Yeah. Whether or not they are that kind of like, they turn just wispy halfway down.
Yeah.
And whether or not, like a mermaid, you know, where the genitals fall in the transition to the wisp, whether or not the genitals are above the wispy bit.
Oh, you mean the little wisp. You know, okay, like I see what you mean. Yeah, that little...
You know, they tail off into a little sort of...
And where does that tail go to? You know,
indeed.
Like, because it looks like it's going, it's, you know, it's like it's smoke. Like, it's going like the, back to a source.
If you're wondering what we're talking about, it's sort of like the upside down, it's an upside down Mr. Whippy, you know, that taper. When the end of a soft serve ice cream sort of tails off like that.
Yeah, or, you know, kind of looks like an ectoplasm tornado.
Sometimes it does, yes. And again, you know, I want to find out the details, but then I want to know if the wisp is above or below the genitalia.
Because, I mean, it's... And, but also, like, you know, because you kind of become a blueprint almost of a person when you become a ghost, it
seems. Yeah, that's possible, yeah.
You know, and you're kind of just left with, you know, core data for being recognized and things like that. You don't need any of that blood... And bone and all that kind of stuff. But I wonder what the decisions that were made for what body parts you keep like that. You know, why the eyes and the, you know, the neck and things like that. But why no genitals? Why no feet? I mean, sometimes they have feet.
Yes, but never genitals.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'd be interested to know whether or not how the idea of what a ghost looks like has changed through time, because the ones that we imagine now a lot of the time are very hologram like and that feels like sort of like a modern idea that might just have arisen from like what we can show on video film, that sort of thing, you know. The idea of a transparent person is probably just something that was made up by a video technician who was like, look, we can lay the two bits of footage over the top of each other and there'll be this kind of, you know, hazy bloke there. But then back in the day, is that what they were like?
Well, some might come from also like things that people think that they've seen in windows and in like photographs of old houses.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. And reflections are kind of transparent as well, aren't they?
Yeah, that is a bit of a camera trick.
Yeah, of the eye.
And looking longingly out of windows, that's already kind of scary. What don't you like inside the house that makes you want to look out?
It's scary that you don't like your house.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Why do you have to look at me? I don't know. This is, in my mind, I was trying to write a bit the other day about, like, you know, when you're walking on the footpath and, like, somebody's, like, gardening in their front yard and they can, I guess they hear you coming and then they turn and look at you. And I was like, I fucking hate that. Just, yeah, well, you can't fucking, oh, a bit of reality is happening. I better perceive it. Just keep your eyes to yourself.
And then, yeah, what do they want to know? Yeah. Like, just confirming that you're going all the way past their front yard. You're not going to...
What are you worried? Your ears are now lying to you or something like that? Yeah, it's a person. Mm. Who cares? Fucking, yeah. We don't need to make a whole thing out of it.
Well, I tell you what, you keep doing what you're doing, and I'll just shout when I'm past your front yard, so you know I'm gone. Right?
It doesn't sound like the pace
of
somebody.
You don't need
to
watch me the whole way.
Yeah, just you can look if I start like really approaching you. But yeah, just
if
let
these
me walk
footsteps
by without...
start to speed up, you know, in a sort of terrifying way.
Let
get
me
closer.
Walk by unperceived.
Mm, I think that is good.
Yeah,
the idea of the unperceived bit. You're right. I've tried some other angles on it that haven't gone anywhere, Alistair. But the idea of being unperceived is, I think, crucial.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, because it's like if you look at me, I probably see you moving, so that creates motion in my eye, makes me want to look at you, right? Mm. Suddenly, now we both have to enter each other's minds.
Mm, sure.
You know, and now you have to think about like, oh, has he got intentions? And I got to be like, oh, what's he think I want to do?
Yeah, and you're also, you know, if you're looking at me, you're creating an image of me in your mind, and you're storing that image in your memory.
Yeah,
which is something I didn't agree to.
That's right.
And then you can remember that memory whenever you want. Yeah.
I don't know what you're going to be doing with my memory, the memory of me.
Yeah. And I also don't know where in your memory you're going to be storing that, right? What other stuff that's going to be next to in your memory?
And?
What you're filing it under?
And you may be making judgments about me. And this is what I'm thinking. What judgments are you making about me and writing it into that memory? Because you may be, you know, making a judgment based on your first impressions of seeing me.
Yeah.
And they may be incorrect. And so that alters my behavior because I'm like, oh, they're probably going to see me like this. Right? But then writing that into memory, that's slander.
Yeah. Well, and it's reductive as well because what do they remember you as? A guy who walked past their front yard. And
who
that's
looked
all
like a
they
fuck.
Remember you as. But you're much more than that.
I'm more than that.
Right? Yeah.
We better not. It's better for us not to perceive each other at all. And not have to go through this whole rigmarole.
It is funny that they called a medium, though, isn't it? You know.
Yeah, the people who take in, who get ghosts.
Yeah.
I guess it's because it's medium, like they're a piece of paper on which you can write or whatever.
I suppose so, yes. But, you know, it suggests that you could go and see a spirit maximum.
Yes. And, I mean, it does. Yeah.
Or indeed, an extra large.
Yes.
Or...
Well, you've,
let's see. Small.
You've heard of me. And what do you picture an extra large being like?
I went and saw an extra large recently. I've been trying to contact my father.
Yeah, but apparently the signal was so weak that they told me to see an extra large.
You know, I mean, that's something.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something.
It's not hilarious.
What? No, yeah, it's just a little play on words, but
yeah.
But what did we? Yeah, we didn't really come up with anything for the arbitrary spirit medium, other than that, obviously.
Arbitrary spirit medium, seance. Yeah, what do? You sort of move the Ouija board, or you say the first letter of your name. I'm getting the first letter of their name. Or
I'm getting the smell of their cologne.
Yeah, sometimes.
I can feel their fingerprint on my neck.
Yeah.
Let me draw
and
it.
And there's
for
something
you.
Wrong. He's clutching his arm. Did he have a problem with his arm? What so he's clutching, still clutching his arm?
He's it clutching his ass.
Is the spirit
and he's sort of lifting his knees up and down, saying, ouchie my bum bum. Does that sound like your father? Yes, that's him.
Did he have a problem with his bum bum?
Did he have a problem? Yes, that's me.
He says, me got a boo-boo. He's saying, me got a boo-boo.
Me got a boo-boo on my bum bum. And this is like one of those ones where it's like a big group of people and the guy's cold reading the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, I'm seeing the letter H. It could be Hank, could be Harry. And a few people stand up. They're like, yes, yeah, yes. And he goes, oh, he's a man about 5'8". Yes, yes. So a couple people sit down. Yeah. Now he's clutching his butt. And he's jumping up and down saying, ouchie, ouchie, my bum is sore. It's going to go everywhere. I'm going to do a boo-boo on the floor. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
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 And then a couple people sit down, but then a couple other people stay standing.
There's still two people
up.
Still standing. That's yeah.
And then he's holding. Then he's moved his hands to the front, and I'm saying, "And my wee wee is burning too." One guy sits down. You know, there's still two still up.
My winky. Can you make it better?
Can you make it? Can you kiss my winky, winky, my winky dinky? And then it's two people who say, it could really be either of us. Well, he says that he loves you and that he was really proud of you.
He's happy in heaven.
Yeah, he's really happy in heaven. Oh, that's nice. And he says he could feel the diarrhea running down his legs. and he says it's filling up his shoes. And he said he's just got a brand new pair of socks. And they're ruined now. And he seems really upset.
He likes the smell. He says he really likes the smell. Oh, no, that's not my dad.
No, that's not my dad. No. Anyway.
He hated the smell.
Yeah.
That's very funny. Yeah, I was wondering if it was going to be that, like, the, you know, the spirit medium or whatever. First, they isolated and they find the person, the one person in the crowd, and then they just start describing the embarrassing things about their father.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
You know, and then they go on to the next person and do the same thing. And I guess... Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, that's...
But I think mine's maybe a bit more obvious, and I think yours is more absurd.
Yeah, I think... I do like... Yeah, yours has a much more of a simplicity to it. We're kind of creating this system where people stand up when they're hearing something that they recognize, and then sitting down when something rules them out.
I love it.
Yeah, great. This is nothing, but something that I like that Hux does that we're kind of like not correcting yet is just my kid who just turned 3. Is that when he's instead of saying like I want or you know I'm going to, he still says my.
Oh.
And it's like those little cute little things that, like, back in the day I would have tried to be like, let's say it properly. But now you're like, don't you ever start talking normally.
Yeah.
This is my last shot at hearing a cute kid talk in a fun way. He's always like, no, my wanna do it. No,
that's really nice.
My wanna do it. I'm going to raise him as a himbo.
Our little boy, Remy. He says two cute things. He says stummy ache instead of tummy ache, which I think makes sense. You know, stomach?
Yeah.
You know, it's your stummy. And he also says, instead of cowabunga, dude, which we say a lot around the house, he says hangababa, dude.
Hangababa.
Hangababa, dude.
That does sound like a great Australian version.
And now that's what I've just started saying.
Yeah, Australian version. Yeah. Oh, well, in America it was cowabunga, but in Australia it's hangababa.
Hang a barber, yeah.
Fellow. Hang a barber, fellow.
Mate.
Hang a barber,
mate. Hang a barber, mate.
Yeah. I love things that sound like sayings. Anyway.
Well, it could be something.
We probably need to wrap this episode up. So let me take you through the sketch ideas. Well, we got the Spy Kitchen Cooking Show.
I was really interested in the idea of an invisible sink, right? Yeah. And the thing is that you think you know where the sink is.
Yeah.
And so you go and you pour out your like your bowl of like leftover Wheat Bix and milk and stuff. Think you're pouring it into the sink and it just falls onto the ground.
Yeah.
And this constantly just trying to empty things into the sink.
Yeah.
They're falling, splashing all over your shoes and floor. Like, I'm really wishing we hadn't gotten that invisible sink.
Yeah, but it's good, though. And then we've got, I signed an NAD.
Wow, that got written down. That's really good.
Yeah, then we got the Itty Bitty Integrity Committee. This is a sub committee as part of the Itty Bitty Titty Committee.
Internal Affairs.
Who are an international organization who commit atrocities around the world and... mostly,
I thought they might be more like UNESCO or something, and things can, be given World Heritage status by the Itty Bitty Titty
Committee. I like to think that they're a bit closer to like Hezbollah.
Okay,
where some places consider them like a terrorist organization, and some of them see them as like a legitimate, powerful thing, things like that.
I mean, it would be interesting if the Itty Bitty Titty Committee did start out as a purely, peaceful organization, but then within the Itty Bitty Titty Committee, there are those who believe that the only way to achieve their ends is through violence.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I think.
What those ends are, I don't really know at this stage.
We got a new gas for fixing climate change, which chokes out carbon, and this has been released by... the Gracie family, and sold as a UFC gas, which is to get, the rest of the last holdouts who don't believe in climate change, get them on board.
Ultimate fluorocarbons.
We got the adult gritty reboot of Cupid. We got the Mount Olympus, but CEOs and billionaires. That's, that's for us. I think that's our new TV series that we're about to work. It's a big episode. It'll be like a huge prestige TV show about like a rich family or something like that.
Yeah, really good. They all like called Zeus and stuff? But they're just...
No, they're not called Zeus and stuff.
Oh, okay.
No, I was just trying to describe Succession just then.
Right.
So that you would laugh and then I didn't get that. But I think this one's more about the network of these people and how they control the world. Through their whims. And they fight amongst each other. This is more about like, kind of like, not the Illuminati, but what actually does control the world with the shifting of the money and all that,
Do you think that there is a pornographic parody of Succession called Succession?
Yeah, that's really good. Andy, that would be wrong if it didn't have that. And then, what about Suck Sex?
Oh, that's Sean.
Sean. Suck / Sex. Sean. SEAN or SHAUN?
SHAUN, yeah.
Yeah. Like that. Then we have Woozy Floozy with an Uzi, the revenge film.
It's good. It's good too.
Then we have Will Manage Your Company for Food. I'm writing down the words revenge film. And then we have a person who uses lions to pick... who pick off the sick as a diagnostic tool. I think that was a very clear idea, Andy. Probably the clearest idea we've had.
Thank you, Alistair. It felt clear to me.
Other than, except for the medium who finds a ghost who is clutching his butt saying,
"Me got a big poo-poo.
I got a big poo-poo and my bum-bum is so ouchy.
Can you rub my tummy?"
Yeah. And then he's... Yeah. Anyway, so I think that's it, Andy. That's the whole episode. Wow, okay. Can you believe it?
Yeah, I almost can.
Gosh.
This was fun.
Do you think we should go into the song bit?
Yeah, man.
Hey, flapsy, flapsy, flap, flap, flap,
flap. Alistair and I, if you're thinking of signing up for Patreon to support Two in the Think Tank and the work that we do in the community, which is basically just this. But we might have a bonus episode coming up in which we do a bit of a stock take, Two in the Stock Tank take.
Because we're considering take stock. Writing a sketch show by the end of this year, maybe. And maybe even performing it somewhere in Melbourne. And so we're going to go through and find some sketches that we would love to do and maybe start doing some writing.
Yeah, I'm excited about that prospect.
Yep, yep, yep.
Yep, yep, yep. And
we thanks for listening. Love you. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.